it actually created two things. It exposed a couple of weaknesses. One, it continued to expose the three-point defense. And quite honestly, and not to jump ahead, because I know we're going to talk about the game yesterday with Rutgers, but there was a bunch of open shots Rutgers had from three. They just aren't as good of shooters, and they missed them. So I do think that there's still some work to be done from that standpoint. And then the other thing was the pick-and-roll defense against Miami. Now, they're very, very good. They have two guys that are projected to be first-round potential first-round picks. And the problem became when the Gophers did not have Dupree McBrayer in that game. And, Dupree's an interesting study, I think, in this, because my thought was, they won't miss him that much. He's a guy that's scoring about 9 points a game. Isaiah Washington's been pretty good off the bench. This shouldn't be that big of a factor. But it turned out to be much bigger on the defensive end than I thought it would, because they were able to run pick and rolls. Michael Hurt, who really is coming along, the Rochester native, he really is. He had some really good minutes yesterday. He's been much more aggressive, and certainly you like the track that he's on as a Golden Gopher, but he's probably not quite ready to guard a guy ready to, one-on-one that's ready to be in the NBA, and he really struggled. And without McBrayer, that was kind of the situation they were in. And then the help side defense wasn't there as well. So that exposed a few things. That immediately got better yesterday when McBrayer played. And then Michael Hurt was able to meld in a little bit better, so to speak. Now, like I said, I really like Hurt's game. He's developing. But I think he'd even admit himself that, guarding, an NBA player, a future NBA player, is probably not something high on his list of top skills. So he's got some other great skills. He's a good shooter, an excellent passer, as I mentioned, much more aggressive offensively. So, yes, those two things, three-point defense, they still have to work on it. And I've thought for years and years and years, some of it, too, is just happens to be the day you play. Basketball guys sometimes are going to let those shots go in, and sometimes they aren't. Open shots, everybody gives them up, and sometimes the outcome of the game is determined on the basketball guys, whether that's a day that your opposition happens to knock them down or happens to rim them out. And so that happens. The other interesting thing on that game is it was a big game. And yet, the funny thing, as of now, because Miami had played nobody, their RPI coming into that game was 139. So they're ranked 10th, but their RPI is 139. So the Gophers lost on their home floor to RPI number 139. And they dropped 27 spots in the RPI. Normally, you'd think, well, heck, you lose to the top 10 team, that's going to be great for strength of schedule, and you shouldn't drop. But they dropped 27 spots. They're like 53 now in the RPI. Now, that will change as Miami continues to win, and their schedule will obviously become better when the ACC games start hitting. Then that changes the matter, and that will be a good home court loss as opposed to what it is right now, a top 100 home court loss. But that all said, the weird thing is, and Patino mentioned it, Sam, I know this is a long answer, but you mentioned in the pregame show yesterday that his team has to realize that the most important game of the week wasn't the Miami game, it was the Rutgers game, because they want to win a Big Ten championship, and you can't step your toe against Rutgers at home if you want to win a Big Ten championship. So that became the most important game of the week, and luckily they took care of business.
So let's get to that one, then I want to circle back around to a couple of the other things from the Miami game as well. But what was your biggest takeaway from yesterday? Of course, it was just a chance to get back into the flow of things. A team that presents a better matchup in Rutgers, certainly more so than Miami. And just the whole Big Ten schedule is likely going to present a better matchup for the Gophers than the likes of the Hurricanes, especially as the season goes along. So what was your biggest takeaway from yesterday?
Yeah, my takeaway was they did what they're supposed to do, and I think we're all, I'm talking Gopher fans, radio announcers, coaches, everybody is learning. We as a collective group, I'm not talking we as a team, to understand. I mean, I'm part of this group of, I'm a broadcaster, there's fans. We haven't seen our team in this position in a while, where they're a top 20 kind of team, and if they really play well, maybe they creep into the top 10 at some point. I don't know. But it's an interesting thing. The Gophers were a 12-point favorite yesterday. They were up 10 at halftime. So you figure, oh, well, they're well ahead of pace. They're only supposed to win by 12 according to the formulas. They're up by 10 at half. But yet Spencer Tollickson is my partner, and he, of course, he's a social media guy. So he's thumbing through Twitter, and he's like, this is amazing. I mean, it's like everyone thinks we're down by 10 here. I mean, the Gophers are terrible at this. They can't do this. We're only up by 10. And I think we all have to re-educate ourselves that even ranked teams have warts. And when you're a 12-point favorite up by 10 at halftime, you ride off into the sunset saying, okay, we're right where we're supposed to be. And then they took care of business in the second half, and, you know, at one point led by 24, and they win by 22. And yet, even after the game, Pitino was a little surprised at some of the questions being asked of his team. Look, every team has warts, and I think teams that are traditionally used to being in Michigan State, for example, used to being in the top 10, they understand that's just a game. It's just a game. Rutgers, they come to town, you take care of business, you move on, you check it off the check mark in the W column, and advance on to the next game, which will be tomorrow night against Nebraska. And don't fret all the little things. I mean, they do. The players do. They watch film, and the little things turn into big things. We know all those cliches. But I do think that as a fan base, we have to adjust ourselves a little bit. Just because you're ranked 12 doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. Every team, Michigan State, Duke, Kentucky, you know, all the good teams go through some spells. The Gophers weren't going to go undefeated. You know, they're probably going to lose 8 or 9, 10 games. Who knows? But I think we have to decide that, you know, understand what, just because you're a top 10 team doesn't mean that this team's just going to click along and be perfect. They have warts, and we talked about those warts in the opening question. So I think we have to learn to kind of re-educate ourselves a little bit. It's been a while since we've been in this spot a top 10 team, a top 20 team is not perfect. And so we have to live with a few things along the way.
Talking with the voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm on Mulward County Sports Live. Do you think the immediacy of the Ohio State win over Wisconsin, the way that they beat Wisconsin, do you think that played a factor at all in people wanting Minnesota to do that to Rutgers?
It could be, I suppose. I think that's it's a totally different game, obviously, two different teams. I do think this. I think that sometimes teams have days. The Gopher football team had a couple of those days where it was that other team's good day. You didn't have a great day, and when those things happen, you end up getting run out of the place. I don't think Wisconsin's that bad. I doubt Ohio State is that good, but on that day, that happened. All that said, I do think there's a big enough pool of games now for Wisconsin. What are they, 3-5, that they're in trouble, in terms of making the NCAA. And now, we've said this before about them, even 2 years ago when Greg Dart took over, they were, 8-8, and then went on this long run and ended up going to the Sweet 16. That's still a possibility. But right now, this is a significant step back from where they have been. And if you're looking, because the Big Ten is down, I mean, it's pretty clear, statistically right now, they're really struggling. You know, they're 2-10 or 2-12 in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. So if you're Wisconsin, you have four non-conference losses and now a loss to Ohio State on your home floor, you're going to probably need to win 22 games to make the tournament. So that's going to put them in a tricky bind here. They'll probably need to win 12 games in the Big Ten to make the tournament. Now, their schedule's been tough. They'll be able to hang their hat on that. Iowa's in the same boat. You know, they have some bad losses here. They lost at home to Penn State. They lost to South Dakota State. They lost to Virginia Tech. They lost to Louisiana Lafayette. I mean, they're going to need to probably win 12 or 13 games in the Big Ten to make the tournament. That's a team that many people thought would make the tournament, and some thought might be a fringe contender if things fell right for them. They do not have a true point guard. Bohannon's really good as a guard, but they're struggling. So, again, and I'm sorry I digressed again, a long answer to your question. I don't think that Wisconsin-Ohio State outcome had any, it shouldn't have. If it did, I guess I can't help that, but it shouldn't have had any bearing. Again, when you think about it, the Gophers were up 24 and they won by 22. They were a 12-point favorite. So the game not only went according to plan, it went according to plan and then some yesterday. So I do think sometimes we have to understand, there are going to be in the Big Ten some real meat grinders and games where you might be a 10-point favorite that you have to win by 3 or 2 or 1 or in overtime. We watched Maryland-Illinois last night. Maryland had a 22-point lead and blew it, and then got a lucky break late in overtime or in regulation to send it to overtime, and then they win it on a free throw. So weird things happen, and the Gophers are right where they should be at 1-0.
Hey, I think it was the game at Penn State last year is the one that comes to mind when you bring out some of these games in the Big Ten that just for whatever reason, even if there's not really an explanation, just end up being that kind of game. I think it was at Penn State last year. It was just a game where the Gophers had a lead and couldn't hold on, and Penn State kind of just came out of nowhere. And so you do get some of those Big Ten games that can be interesting, and hopefully now with a couple of decent non-conference games, this is a pretty good non-conference schedule for the Gophers when you look at it in hindsight with a road win at Providence. You had UMass in there and Alabama, close with Miami. Hopefully that can take care of some of the things that they struggled with in early Big Ten games last year.
Yeah, and you know, it's an interesting deal. This is the first time in Pitino's time he started 1-0 in the Big Ten. So that, I mean, obviously that's better than starting 0-1. They have Nebraska already tomorrow. It's an interesting, you know, about a 10-day stretch here, because they had, as you mentioned, Miami on Wednesday, then they opened Big Ten play yesterday, and then it's a travel day today. The team will fly out this afternoon. They play tomorrow at Nebraska. They'll be a road favorite in that game. And then fly out Friday to Arkansas to play a very good Arkansas team, an Arkansas team that basically had last year's did North Carolina win it last year? I'm getting old, I can't remember, but they basically had North Carolina beat in the tournament, Arkansas did, and then North Carolina rallied and went on to, I think, win it all. Didn't they last year win it all?
Yes.
I think they did. I'm losing my mind.
You got enough to keep an eye on, Will. You got enough to keep an eye on, like, between football and basketball?
Yeah, just trust me, when you get to my age, it starts fading fast. That's all I can say. But anyway, that Arkansas team is going to be good. It'll be a true road test. Arkansas beat UConn earlier this year by 40. So, and UConn is having kind of a rough go of it. I get that. But still, you know, you go beat UConn by 40, you're a pretty good team. So it's an interesting 10-day stretch. All good games, all important games. The two harder games are the non-conference games, but the two more important games, the two conference games, if your goal is to win or at least get into, you know, the February-March time contending for a Big Ten. So the hope, obviously, would be that Minnesota could somehow snake out two road wins this week, tomorrow in Nebraska and then Saturday at Arkansas. So it's an interesting stretch. And then they have a couple of tune-ups that should be wins. If you're a home Big Ten team in a bye game, they got Drake and Oral Roberts and Harvard. Now, Harvard won't be an easy one. That comes up late December, and then it's right into Big Ten play after that. So, I think you're right. Sometimes you have those games. And I'll tell you what, the Gophers will have a game or two like that. Look, they're as mentioned, all teams now have blemishes. I my honest opinion, I got asked this yesterday before the game, this Gopher team is, to me, you know, I think it's like a number 15 to 20 kind of team in the country. And if things fall right and they catch a break and have a few things go their way, they might be able to crawl themselves into the top 10, and that would be wonderful. And I think people have to realize that. I mean, this isn't a team that is going to be ranked number one this year. This isn't a team that might not make it to the top five. I don't think that they will. So they're going to have a few stubs of the toe. It's just, you know, that's life in the Big Ten. The deal is, not to sound like P.J. Fleck, but the deal is to how you respond when those things hit. Don't let a one-game loss become a two- or three-game loss. And you see that so much in the Big Ten. We saw it last year. Gophers lost five in a row. People thought the world was ending, and they won eight straight. It's a league of confidence. I remember when we were going into Maryland, Maryland had lost one or two, I can't remember, and you know, the Gophers were a big underdog in that game. And Maryland looked like they just had no confidence, and that happens, and it happens in an eyelash, in a quick heartbeat. In the Big Ten. So the question is, if you do stub your toe, inevitably, some, you know, Michigan State's going to lose to somebody or a couple times here. You know, Purdue might get them. Minnesota might get them. Iowa might get them. Who knows? Wisconsin could snap them. What they've done over the years is they just don't let that affect them. They just go on to the next game. And I think Patino's talked about that for the Gophers. That's got to be their next step is if they lose one, and they will, and they'll have one of those nights like they did at Penn State. You know, most teams do. And you can't get down. You can't let it hurt your confidence. And I did like the way that the Gophers came out yesterday, because that was maybe a tiny concern in the back of my mind was okay, this is the first adversity they've had. They lost to Miami. Place was sold out. It was rocking. They left, you know, the fans left disappointed on Wednesday against Miami. How would this team respond? Would they play confidently? And, man, I thought they came out from the get-go with confidence. They basically only trailed once at 7-6. They had a 10-point lead at half. And then built on that in the second half against the team that you're supposed to do that against. So I was impressed with how they responded, a businesslike, workmanlike approach, and they put the opponent away.
Being joined by the voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm on Mulward County Sports Live. Last thing here, Mike, before I let you go, and a two-parter going back to to the loss to Miami last week. One of the other things that stood out in that game, it was really something that the Gophers hadn't seen before, was the length of that Miami team. It's something that you really can't practice, you really can't simulate. So to be able to see that in the game was, I'm sure it was something that was new for them, and really just to just be challenged for a team that was 7-0 at that point. But the length of Miami was something that they really hadn't seen before. And just want to get your thoughts on what you saw and how that played out. And the second part of it was, you going back to the very beginning of the conversation, you talked about Dupree McBrayer, and that seemed to be an interesting situation, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was from what I saw, it was first reported as an illness before we actually found out that there was anything going on the injury front with Dupree McBrayer.
Yeah, so you're right. Let's start with Dupree first. It was interesting because I knew nothing about it. We got to the gym on Wednesday. I usually go in early. We tape Richard Pitino's pregame radio interview at the shoot-around, which is traditionally about 4 hours before the game. This is for our home game routine. So I'm in there, and he's like, yeah, Dupree's not playing. He's not here. He's got a leg injury. And, you know, when I hear leg injury, my first instinct is, oh, no, is it a sprain? Did he tear something? Is he out? And he's like, no, it's nothing like that. It's a pain tolerance issue. And I'm like, oh, okay, so he must have bruised it or something. But he didn't say anything about infection or anything, so we hit on it in the interview. And then in the post game is when he told us it was an infection. And we still don't know exactly what that means. He was in the hospital for a couple of days. I mean, there's, you know, who knows? I mean, we could speculate it might be, a staph infection or something. But he had the leg wrapped yesterday. Did have a little bit of a limp to his gait, but he was okay. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but he does make a difference defensively. He had a couple of forced turnovers where, in fact, they even called it as it was happening. He looked like a free safety or a cornerback jumping in and getting a couple of interceptions. So it's good to have him back, and hopefully that, you know, he lost some weight as well. So it's some sort of infection. I don't know what, but it's on his leg. And so he lost a bunch of weight. He's in the hospital for a couple days after that trip out to Brooklyn. So, you know, it looks like he's on the mend. And then the other part of the question, remind me again, Sam.
Yeah, just about the length that Miami presented that the Gophers really hadn't seen before that game on Wednesday.
Yeah, and that, no doubt. And really where that length showed up was they went pick and roll, and they drew Reggie Lynch out away from the basket. I was a little surprised, quite honestly, that Rutgers didn't try that. Having watched that film a little bit more, I think more teams will. And Rutgers has a couple of bigs that can shoot the three. Chom is one of them. That they wouldn't try to bring Lynch out defensively by setting some high ball screens and then forcing him away from the basket, either going for the block shot or getting caught up in the traffic on a pick and roll. And that's where the help defense really failed the other day. But Rutgers didn't do a lot of that. Somebody will. There'll be more teams that try that if they watch that film with Miami. But the one thing that Miami has is that 7-foot-1 guy that can set the screen and then roll. And he's so long, like you said, and he's so athletic. He's another one of those, you know, he's the other guy that they think could be a first-round pick. You know, basically he just catches the pass on the bounce and he's up and he's dunking. I think he had 7 dunks in the game. I don't know if the Gophers will face a guy quite like that. Now, I do think they'll face some teams that have some size and certainly some athleticism. Michigan State and Purdue, especially those two teams, have all kinds of athleticism and length. And, you know, Miles Bridges can jump over the bridge, basically. You know, I mean, he's an incredible athlete. And then Haas and Hayes are amazing bigs for Purdue, a double force down there. So Murphy and Lynch and those guys will have their hands full when those two teams are on the docket. So I do think they learned some things, and I, obviously, as we mentioned, it exposed a weakness there that they'll have to shore up. But I'm not sure they'll face another team quite like Miami. I came away, going into that Miami game, Sam, I was like, you know, these guys haven't played anybody. Let's see just, you know, what they're made of. And leaving the game, I'm like, that's a team, I don't know if they'll win the ACC, Duke and Carolina and all these good teams are in that league, but they're going to contend, and they're going to have a lot of nice wins, and that's going to be a loss that people won't look at like, oh, man, how did they lose that game? That Miami team I was very impressed with.